عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. شيخنا أحسن الله إليك.
آمين. وإياكم. أبو عامر حاوي.
الحمد لله.
I don't think it's cold in Lagos.
Well,
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
أبو يوسف حاوي. أبو يوسف. أبو عامر.
نعم شيخنا.
You're near the oceans and the rivers there. Is it cold?
Not really.
Not really cold.
Yes, sir.
I won't be surprised to hear of the rain in Lagos.
Well, I'm not in Lagos now, actually.
Okay. So can we go on with our class?
نعم شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We came into the chapter about إرحم من في الأرض. الإمام البخاري in this book الأدب المفرد. A book that he specifically compiled about the manners of Islam and the code of conduct, the line of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad السلام, and his companions, radiallahu anhu, how did they conduct themselves as Muslims? And what lessons have they left for us to follow in terms of our character, in terms of our conduct, and way of life? The chapter here is about Irham Man fil Ard, the chapter about be merciful to the people of the earth. Irham Man fil Ard, show mercy, be compassionate to the people of the earth. And that came from a discussion about being merciful with children. This is something people would not know forms an act of worship in Islam. When you are merciful to children, Allah rewards you. The essence of this reading from this. That is the essence of saying that being merciful to children is from the Sunnah. So when you do it, you have rewards written down. Only Allah knows for how much those rewards will be doubled. But when you do them, we get good deeds documented for you that you will receive in this dunya as rewards, you will also receive in that. That is the essence of these lessons. So from being merciful and kind with children, we came to don't think that it's for children alone. All the peoples of the earth deserve that you are merciful to them. So we came to that narration from Omar. رضي الله عنه that لا يرحم لا يرحم. The one who does not show mercy will not receive mercy. لا يرحم. He will not receive mercy. So who is that? من لا يرحم. Person who does not show mercy. So it means from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام is that we are merciful. Don't forget that Allah referred to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is وَمَا رَسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالِمِ. The message to all creatures. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would definitely receive mercy. And he did receive and still receives. What? He was a very, very merciful person to the rest of the people. If you want Allah to be merciful to you, you be merciful to others. Be merciful to children and the rest of the peoples of the world. So that was the author we read from Omar, radiallahu anhu. And then we came to Hadith 373 yesterday. That was the Hadith of Musaddad from his teachers that came back yesterday, Muawiyah ibn Qurra was a tabi'i. He was the one who gave us the hadith of Abi Bakr, Muawiyah ibn Qurra al-Muzani. And we remember that the name of the child that he gave birth to on that occasion was what? Iyas. He gave birth to Iyas. So Muawiyah ibn Qurra was Abu Iyas. So he is Muawiyah ibn Qurra ibn Iyas. So Iyas is the name of his grandfather. So when here he said, An Abi, his father here was who? Qurratu ibn Iyas. Qurratu ibn Iyas said, Qala rajulun ya Rasulallah. The man said, O Messenger of Allah, Inni la azbaqta fa arhamha. O Messenger of Allah, I will slaughter an animal fa arhamha. Did I still be merciful to an animal that I wanted to slaughter? I got aware after the class yesterday that we even have people who would place an animal on the fire alive. They would cover it with huge pots, place heavy materials on that pot, and then set the fire under the pot. The animal would die in that second. It will die in heat, covered up, not able to express itself, not able to run to itself. Under that heat, painfully, agonizing pain. These kinds of people, we will talk about them today. The hadith that we shall read includes these kinds of people. The unfortunate thing is that some of these people are the same Jalabi people. That's the name they are fondly called. In the north, they are referred to as Malamimbo Kako. In the southwest, we refer to them as Afa Jalad. They do these things a lot. They kill animals in very wicked circumstances that are just manifestations of the kinds of wickedness that they have in their minds. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, Ya Rasulallah, Inni la azbaqu shat fa arhamuha. Could I still be merciful to an animal, even though I want to slaughter that animal? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa shat in rahimtaha rahimaka. Even a sheep, a goat, a ram, the condition is, if you are merciful to it, Allah will show mercy. We are merciful to an animal, Allah will be merciful. So does it come from mercy that people kill animals in the kind of circumstances that we have described? You place a cat in a pot and you cover up that cat. You place a stone on it, you set a fire underneath that pot, and you heighten the fire so that it burns very hotly. What kind of a person are you? May Allah protect us. Muslims do things like this. There are Muslims who do this wickedly. May Allah protect us. This is from the height of wickedness. It's from the height of wickedness. Why have we brought this hadith under this chapter? Why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought it that when you are merciful to an animal, Allah is merciful to you? That is from the fact that if you are merciful to an animal, and Allah will be merciful to you as a reward for your mercy to an animal, how about when you are merciful to a human? And that's why you find the opposite. If a person relates with an animal so wickedly, you find them being wicked towards human beings. The same Alamimboka, the same Afa Jalabi, those are the same people you find beheading, cutting hands, going to graveyards, digging out corpses, cutting off heads, and all of this. Because they had a problem that we shall describe in the next text. That next hadith is hadith 334. In Italy, Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahmatullah, Haddathana Adam qal, Haddathana Shu'bah al-Masturi. سمعت أبا عثمان مولى المغيرة بن شعبة يقول سمعت أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه يقول سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الصادق المصدوق أبا القاسم يقول لا تنزع الرحمة إلا من كفك لا تنزع الرحمة إلا يقول رسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تنزع الرحمة إلا الإمام البخاري رحمه الله رفض في الحديث من الشيخ آدم and he is آدم ابن أبي إياس الشيخ البخاري في الحديث he is آدم ابن أبي إياس among the first sentences that الإمام البخاري رفض في الحديث in this book الأدم مفرد was Adam ibn Abi Iyas. Yes, the second hadith. Adam ibn Abi Iyas was the second person in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Hadith number two was reported from Adam ibn Abi Iyas. And then he has mentioned a hadith from him repeatedly in his book. So Adam ibn Abi Iyas was foremost from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Adam ibn Abi Iyas. So he said, حدثنا آدم قال شعبة قال حدثنا شعبة آدم ابن أبي إياس has reported the hadith of الإمام شعبة that is شعبة ابن حجاج أبو بسطام المكي رحمه الله he is أبو بسطام المكي Rahimahullah is the Sheikh of Adam ibn Abi Iyas in this hadith, and he is reporting from Ali Imam Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamar. Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamar is the Sheikh of Shurba in this hadith. In this reporting by Ali Imam al-Bukhari, he reports it from Shurba. He reports the hadith of Mansur from Shurba. But in other books of hadith, like Sunan al-Tirmidhi, like Sunan Abi Dawood, they've also been reported by one of the scholars, Ibn Kathir. So this hadith has come from two chains from Mansur. It has come from Shurba. Upon a letter that Mansur wrote to Al-Imam Shurba said, Kataba ilayya Mansur. Mansur sent a message written to me. So Al-Imam Shurba received that hadith in Kitabah by writing a message. You have a scholar in Sokoto, you have a scholar in Lagos. And then he sent Murasalat. This is the hadith that has been from from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. He knows the handwriting. This is the handwriting of Sheikh So. He will report that hadith from him. So Shurba will report from Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamar, despite that it was a letter he wrote to him about the narration he had said from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. As for the Al-Imam ibn Kathir, it was qira'atun alayh. It is qara'atuhu alayh. Ibn Kathir, qara'a ala Mansur. Wa amma shu'batu. Wa huwa ibaratun an al-risala. Is kataba ilayya. Sent it to me in a written message. That was Samitu Aba Uthman. Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamar said, I heard Abu Uthman, Mawla al-Mughirata ibn Shu'ba. I heard Mughira ibn Shu'ba. I heard Aba Uthman, Mawla Mughira ibn Shu'ba. Mughira ibn Shu'ba was a companion, radiallahu anhu. And he had a slave, a freed slave, whose name was what? Abu Uthman. It was Abu Uthman, the freed slave of Mughira ibn Shu'ba, who gave this report to Mansur ibn Mu'tamar. From Mansur ibn Mu'tamar, Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj and Al-Imam ibn Kathir reported from the two of them. But in our report here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Adam ibn Abi Iyas رفقة الشعبة على الإمام البخاري رفقة الشعبة آداب The point is the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, they have been reported to us the asanid as-sahih from reliable teachers. These are trustworthy a'imma, not just trustworthy, very brilliant, intelligent and concise in their reporting of narrations from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, so much that the one who heard it from the reading of the Shaykh who said, Haddathana Shaykhu, Aw Samitu Shaykhan, I heard Aw Shaykh say, he said, so. The one who received it as a message will say, Kataba Ilayya, as we have in this case. Jehovah said, Kataba Ilayya Mansur, Mansur sent it to me as a written message. The one who made Kira'atun ala Shaykh, Al Kira'atu ala Shaykh is that. You are in front of the Shaykh, the book of the Hadith is with you. You'll be reading it and the Shaykh will be affirming what you say. This is called Al-Qira'atu Al-Shaykh. So you read, the Shaykh will be affirming. But when it is the Shaykh reading, you report by saying Haddathana, Awad Akhtaran, Awad Samir too. These are the ways. Even in this, they will tell you how it came to them. That showed how concise, how exact they were in conveying and transmitting the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Uthman, the freed slave of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah said, Samitu Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu yaqul. I heard Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu saying that, Samitu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he gave some tafsiriyya. He gave some further explanation. This Prophet, this Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and he is what? As-Sadiq al-Masduq. Abu Huraira was used to calling the Prophet As-Sadiq al-Masduq. He has a hadith, not less than 5 or 6 that I have seen. When he wants to say the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he can say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ الصَّادِقُ الْمَسْلُوكُ He would refer to the Prophet as what? الصَّادِقُ الْمَسْلُوكُ Abu Huraira used to do it. رضي الله عنه. Although the person that we generally knew it of was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abdurrahman al-Huzali, رضي الله عنه. He was the one who commonly, when he spoke, he would say الصَّادِقُ الْمَسْلُوكُ And because we read the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. He mentioned in the hadith of Inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi. This hadith, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said it, he said, Haddathana as-sadiqul masduq. The one who is as-sadiq. The one who is absolutely truthful in his sayings. The Prophet alayhi salam. Whatever he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the truth. The Prophet would not say anything except the truth. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Al-Imam Ahmad mentioned this in his Musnad and his Nadi Sahih. He used to write down whatever he heard from the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Whatever he heard from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he wrote it down. So the people began to blame him. Why would you write something down from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? And he was a person who sometimes he would be happy, sometimes he would be sad, sometimes he would be angry. Sometimes he just spoke. So why are you writing just everything you hear from? So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As came to report this matter to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Messenger of Allah, people complain that I write everything that I have. They are telling me, why do I write from you everything that I have? Sometimes you will be happy, sometimes you will be angry. And you spoke in these two conditions. They blame me. The Prophet said alayhi sallam, Uktubha, write them. Write those statements of mine. And then he pointed to his mouth alayhi sallam. لا يخرج منه إلا الحق. Nothing will come out from my mouth except the truth. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was As-Sadiq. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. He was what? As-Sadiq. The one who is absolutely truthful in his statements. As-Sadiq. Everything he says is the truth. So this is the lesson for us, all people of Sunnah. Don't claim to be upon the Sunnah, and when people want to listen to you, they are afraid you tell them a lie. This is not Sunnah. The Sunnah is to ever be true. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, pointing to his own mouth, لا يخرج منه إلا الحق. Nothing will come from this my mouth except what? Al-Haq. So the Muslim can give that as a condition for life for himself. This my mouth will not say anything except the truth. And the Prophet encouraged us to say that and behave like that to alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, alaykum bisidq. Alaykum bisidq. Stick to telling the truth. O Muslim, stick to telling the truth. He says, فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ. Because telling the truth will guide you to righteousness. So don't think about righteousness from a person who never tells the truth. The man never tells the truth. When you are anticipating to gain righteousness from him, don't anticipate righteousness. Alaykum salam. Don't anticipate righteousness from a person who is not good. Don't anticipate. And for every person that you know him to be a rough and bad person in his character, if you have not heard him telling a lie, wait for it. You will hear it. From the symbols of bad character is lying. And from the symbols of righteousness is what? Telling the truth. The Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ. Because telling the truth will guide you onto being righteous. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And righteousness will bring you into al-jannah. It will guide you into al-jannah. For what will bring you into the path of righteousness? Alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, is what? As-sidq. Being truthful. Being honest. Being honest. And then he gave us a warning. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَسْتُكُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الصِّدِّيقُ وَلَا يَزَالُ الْعَبْدُ. The individual will continue to, لا يزال. He will continue to say the truth. لا يزال العبد يَسْتُكُ. An individual will continue to say the truth. He will continue to be honest in his dealings. يَسْتُكُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ. And he will be careful watching every time. He wants to be sure that he has not said any other than the truth. يَتَحَرَّ. He pays attention to being able to say the truth in every circumstance. He will be like that, saying the truth, being careful not to ever fall into an error, even regarding a lie. He lied upon an error. No. لِأَنَّهُ يَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ. He is paying attention, never wanting to say anything, even by a mistake, and then happens to be a lie. Hatta, the individual will continue to be like that, saying the truth, paying attention. Yuktaba inda Allah is the deeper. With Allah, it will be written down. This person is a person who never does any other than saying the truth. So that's why we've always repeatedly said it. Man tasabbara sabbarahu Allah. The one who learns to be patient, Allah makes him become good. Good character can be learned. You can learn good character. If you are not a truthful person, you can start learning to be truthful. You start by saying, this is my mouth, nothing will come from it except the truth. And tataharrasid. You say the truth and you pay attention to never say any other than the truth. Even upon an error. I just said it. I thought that was the truth. Even upon an error, you will not see any other than the truth. Why? Because you strongly pay good attention. I don't want to see anything except that it is the truth. So when you come like this, Allah will write you from amongst the people of truthfulness. Well, the head of all of us in all of these was who? The Prophet Muhammad. He is what As-Sadiq. He was also Al-Masduq, the Prophet Muhammad. Look at our own models. So go and see your own models. And people take for models today. Can you refer to them as As-Sadiq? Any of them. Look for a model. You people who take role models. Look for your role models. Which category do they belong to in terms of honesty and truthfulness? For the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And he is the model for all the Muslims. Allah himself gave the messenger to us as a model. If you want to look for a model, that model is the Prophet alayhi salam. The messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is the model for all the Muslims. To take him as a model. So he is As-Sadiq. He is also what Al-Masduq. There is a thing about character. You become known with something and then everybody believes you. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is Al-Masduq. The one who is ever believed by all. When he says something, he believes. When he came back from Al-Isra'u Al-Mi'raj and he narrated his experience, what he saw, alayhi salatu wasalam, what happened to him during those journeys. The first journey was Al-Isra' to Baytul Maqdis. The second journey was what? Al-Mi'raj to the heavens. When he came back and he narrated it, just upon one night, the people of Makkah were surprised. Said, this is not true. And when the message came to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Tahar al-Siddiq, he tried to be sure that he was going to say the truth. How? He asked the people, Ahal qala hadha? Did he really say this? This is trying to be sure that you want to receive an information that is true. Because your next comment will be based on that information. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was actually Siddiq. He wants to be sure that what we have conveyed to him is the truth. Why? Because his next statement was going to become a function of that. If the statement was a lie, what it meant was that whatever he was going to say was would be incorrect. He was asking them, are you sure he said it? Say yes, he said, then that is the truth. But the Prophet was Al-Masduq. Whatever he said, people believe. And he got to that stage even before he became a Muslim. He used to be the pastor's word. Al-Amin. He trusted what he said. That was why Allah said to us in the Quran that these people, la yukadibunak, they are not saying that you, Muhammad, you are telling a lie. Walakinna alladhina. Walakinna zalimina bi ayatillahi yajhadun. But the people of wrongdoing, they are only rejecting the signs of Allah. They are not saying that this Muhammad is a liar. Because they know he doesn't lie. He is Al-Masduq. Muhammad never lies, alayhi salam. So my brother Salafi, when are you going to become like that in your community? When you are going to be known for no other than truth and honesty. First, he will tell you the truth. Even when you don't like it. Sorry to say about this. Most Yorubas don't like to be told the truth. Yorubas will say, don't speak with all your mouth, because they don't want you to be honest. They don't want, Yorubas don't like you to be, say it as it is. The Yorubas don't like it. They want you to go forth and backwards. You say things that can be understood to mean right. You say things that can be understood to mean left. So when the matter falls right, they say, hey, you know I was saying it too. When it comes in the left, they say, you know I was saying it. A bad character. Let us stop it. Be honest, be truthful, be clear. Say that which is clear. Say always. Say it as it is clearly. It doesn't mean not being respectful. Because you say, no, that's part of being respectful. No. Being double-tongued does not indicate respect and esteem for the person that you address. That is double-tongued. Don't be double-tongued. Be honest, be straightforward, be clear. So when you are like this, people find it easy to believe you. So you find a Sadiq, he soon becomes Masduq. When the individual is Sadiq, he soon becomes Masduq.
Even in this era, he will be believed. Why? We are used to accepting his truthfulness and knowing that he was truthful. Even when now he errs, because he's a human being, we will accept it. He will be masduk. When you are sadiq, easily you become what? Masduk. A person people believe and trust. Yeah, so person, don't worry. Trust him. I assure you. But that will not come if you are not a sadiq. You can't become masduk if you are not sadiq. But that's what the Prophet alayhi salam said. He is the two of them. He is as-sadiqul masduk. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Huraira mentioned him with these two things in this hadith. He said, me to al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-sadiqul masduk. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who is ever truthful. The one who is ever believed to say the truth. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he mentioned the kunya of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Abul Qasim. The Prophet is what? Abul Qasim. Some people will blame the people of Sunnah. They say, you people, Abu is what you are hearing. It is from the Sunnah. They say Abu Abdul Rahman, Abu Anas, Abu Taymiyyah, Abu Aziza. That's also right too. Don't ask me at question time. Can I take a kunya after the name of my daughter? Yes. Tamim ibn Aus ibn Dari was Abu Ruqayya. Tamim ibn Aus ibn Dari, from amongst the scholars, amongst the companions. He was a Christian, a scholar amongst them. When he became a Muslim, he was also a scholar. It took him less than 6 months to memorize the Quran. Tamim. He was a companion of the Messenger alayhi salatu salam, who met with Dajjal face to face. Radiallahu anhu. His kunya was what? Abu Ruqayya. So if you can say Abu Aziza, it's not wrong. You can take a kunya after a female. But the common thing is to take the kunya after a male by way of protecting that girl herself, so that the name of your daughter does not become a name every person knows. Just by way of feeling some protective jealousy for the girl. So you can say Abu Aziza, you can say Abu Ishaq, you can say Abu Hanifa, so on. So you can say Abu Nasir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was what? Abu al-Qasim. So people say, you these people, Abu al-Qasim. And from all of what we have read 374, we are on our 374th hadith. And we have read the biography. Spoken a bit about the scholar, even by just mentioning their full names, over 400. There is hardly anyone you would not hear or say his kunya. All of them have a kunya. So from the sunnah of Islam is to take a kunya. A kunya is Abu, then something. If your son is Abdullah, you want to take a kunya after your children, you can start with it's Abdullah, Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdul Fattah, Abu Abdul Rahman. This is from the sunnah of our deen. Our head himself, alayhi salatu salam, the messenger, alayhi salatu salam, he had a kunya, and his kunya was what? Abu al-Qasim. The kunya of the Prophet Muhammad was Abu al-Qasim. So as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu called him as-sadiq al-masluk, he also referred to him as what? Abu al-Qasim. So that you know that this statement that you will hear now is not exactly the truth. What is that statement? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tunza'u rahmatu illa min shaqi. La tunza'u rahmatu illa min shaqi. You will not find a person that mercy for people. Being merciful towards people. Being compassionate towards them. In fact, having empathy for them. It does not, if when it does not occur in that mind, know that that person is a wretched person. The king. Yorubas to call such a person Olori Buruku. So from the symbols of a person being a wretched individual, wicked individual, is that you will not find him in any sort of empathy. He doesn't feel the things of all of us. He doesn't even have a time to think that any person is pain. He doesn't feel sorry, no sense of empathy. He doesn't have it for his wife. He doesn't have it for his children. He doesn't have it for his parents. His parents feel sick. He doesn't feel worried. It's not even locked up. Their parents in the house. You can imagine a brother has a mother, and then he locks his mother or his father, sick father. His father is disturbing him. Then he locks the man up in the house and goes about his business. The wicked, wretched individual. Shaki Yun. The wicked, wretched individual. And the symbols they have is that Tunza'u, men from Mother Arrah. They don't have Rahmah. When you hear somebody beheaded somebody, no Rahmah. Somebody stabbed somebody, no Rahmah. Somebody massacred somebody, no Rahmah. Rahmah is off in that. Rahmah is off. No mercy. They are not compassionate. No empathy. When a person is like this, just know that he's a wretched person. So Lori Buruku, the wretched individual. The Prophet said, alayhi salam. لا تنزع الرحمة إلا من شكل. No one becomes bereft. No one becomes lacking in mercy, except the person who is bereft. And so he lacks it. He doesn't have it. I have seen a man like that before. He was a very wicked person towards his children. He said he was very rich, unfortunately, but his children used to suffer. They lived just very close to us when we were children. He wanted his children to suffer as he suffered. He used to say, my children, you should suffer as I have suffered. So he may not give them food breakfast. So those ones will be looking for a place to settle for breakfast. If he gives them breakfast, he may not give them lunch. In their house, they don't cook. They don't cook. All those boys, and he had a lot of children. He had three wives. All those boys became drug addicts on the street. Except one. And that was because that single one, when he was young, his mother came to take him away. They did not live with him. And unfortunately, towards the end of the time when he died of stroke. He did not have anybody to take care of. His wife too abandoned him. It was that boy who came to take care of. That one that the mother took away. I remember everybody, their names, everybody. When a man becomes so wicked, it's a sin that he has committed, group. And it's a Muslim that he has died, group. He still has a duty to beg Allah to forgive. May Allah forgive. But we all should learn the lessons. Because from the evils of that was that his children became all drug addicts. All drug addicts. That in fact, when you see them, you would not like to greet them, despite the fact that you all grew up together. Only Allah knows where they are now. Because they were our mates, drug addicts. Why? The father was very, very hard-hearted. No mercy towards his children. He was rich, but he never spent any money on them. No food, no drink, nothing. The house is useless. But the man himself was rich, very rich. At those times, early 80s, he was a clearing and forwarding agent. Early 80s. He was using Carina and Mercedes-Benz 200. So you see, he was a rich man. At that time, he used to load money behind his car. Those days. And then he had a gun. He had a gun. So wicked. So very wicked. All his children became drug addicts. Except one. And that one was the one that the mother came to take away from. And that was the one who was with him when he died. He built big houses, but his children don't live in the house. He was a very wicked person. Allah protect us and forgive him. Allah forgive him. And maybe he might have done a good deed that for which Allah will talk. Let's hope for goodness. Allah forgive him. It's a bad thing to be. That a person will be bereft of mercy for others. No mercy. Wicked. The bulk, if not all of these Afa Jalabi, they want you to come to them. What is your job? I'm praying for people. Be careful. He's a wicked person. They don't care if you lose your husband. Women who go to them. Women who go to Afa. Be careful. You go to seek. You want to know whether your business will be successful or not. Be careful. That person you are dealing with is a hard-hearted person, the wretched person. He does not have rahma in his mind. How do we know? 99% of them kill animals wicked. So from the symbols of their wickedness is that they are wicked towards animals. They kill lizards on the streets, wicked. Lizard that is just on its own, especially redneck, Kavi. They send their students in the Arabic school to start killing lizards on the streets. These are wicked-hearted people. So if you take your problems to them, they will not remove your problems. They will add to them. If you're a woman, if you are not careful, they make evil with you. You lose your husband. You lose your money. You lose your job. If you're a man looking for goodness from them, you lose your family. You lose yourself. You lose your sanity. And then the best of it all, you will lose your religion. You will lose the best thing that you have. They will not leave you until they turn you to a kafir like themselves. Most of these people worship jinns. Don't go to them. Don't go to Afar who wants to tell you tomorrow. Don't go to them. Don't go to them. They are liars, hard-hearted people. Are they not the ones killing people to make money? So don't go to them. Protect yourself. Be merciful towards yourself. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا تنزعوا الرحمة إلا من شقي. You will not find anyone bereft of mercy, except that such a person is what? The wretched person. The wretched person. The wretched person from the symbols of wretchedness is that they are not merciful. These people are not merciful. They are wicked, wretched. They are loved with them. I think this will suffice on Hadith 334. You can quickly read Hadith 375. نيت الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا يحيى عن إسماعيل قال أخبرني قيس قال أخبرني جرير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرحم الناس لا يرحم الناس من لا يرحم الناس من لا يرحم الناس لا يرحمهم من لا يرحم الناس لا يرحم من لا يرحم الناس لا يرحم الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا مسدد الزيد في الحديث ومسدد من يسد حديث ريشه في مسدد بن مسعود رحمه الله he said حدثنا يحيى with يحيى this is يحيى he is reporting from Ismail. It's Ismail ibn Abi Talib al-Ahmad. Ismail ibn Abi Talib al-Ahmad. He is reporting from Qais ibn التابعي of the Hadith who Qais ibn Abi Talib who said had أخبرني جرير ibn عبد الله البجج was the one who reported the Hadith. And like we mentioned previously, جرير was one of the most handsome among the companions. Omar radiallahu anhu used to tell him, don't cut him too much. Because he was so handsome. People become so astonished by the handsomeness of Jerry. But if I remember vividly, it was Omar who gave him that nickname, Yusuf al-Umar. You know, Nabi Yusuf was very handsome. Right? In the Ummah of Muhammad, among his companions, the Yusuf is who? Jerry. Recently, one of our brothers gave birth to a baby boy. He named that boy Jerry. One of our brothers gave birth to a boy. He named the boy Jarir. Jarir is the most handsome amongst the companions. He was very handsome. That was why he said, Ma ra'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illa tabassama ala wajhi. The Prophet never saw me except that he gave me a smile. Alayhi salam. Who would see something good and not smile? Ah, this guy, this person is so handsome. Jarir was very handsome. He was the one who reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, "Man la yarhamun nas, la yarhamuhu Allah." The one who will not be merciful to the people, Allah will not be merciful to them. You are not merciful to the people, Allah will not be merciful. This is about the third time we are reading this hadith. And this hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has done as he does it. He has also reported it from three sources. He reported it from the Tabi. The Tabi here is Qais ibn Abi Hazm. In the previous narration, he gave it from Zayd ibn Wahb, hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. He reported it from who? Zayd ibn Wahb. That is hadith 370. The same hadith. Hadith 370 came from Zayd ibn Wahb, from Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. And I think either 170 or 170. Was also from Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. Or 176. There he reported it from Abu Bagyan. The Imam al-Bukhari reported it from Abu Bagyan, reporting from Jarir. He reported it from Zayd ibn Wahab, reporting from Jarir. And here he is reporting from Qais ibn Abi Hazm. So in the columns of the scholars of hadith, these are three different hadiths because they come from three different roots. The roots is from Qais ibn Abi, from Zayd ibn Wahab, and from Abu Bakr. The three of them reported from who? Jarir. This goes to make us understand that these reports came upon some exactness from these people, hearing and telling the world about what they have heard from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Jarir ibn Abdullah, Yusuf al-Ummah, radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Man la yarhamu an-nas la yarhamu. Man la yarhamu an-nas la yarhamu Allah." The one who will not be merciful, Allah will not be merciful. So be ready, O wicked man. If you are wicked towards the people, Allah will not be merciful to you. You too will find difficulty in your life. Why? You are wicked. You are wicked towards the people. Because the result for your deeds will just be according to your deeds. Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. We have said we should not be saying karma again. The karma is from the things of worship of kuffar. It is from the belief of the Buddhists who say karma. The karma took over him. Karma paid him back. Karma does not pay anything. It is from the thinking of kuffar. What we should say is that al-jaza'u, the reward that an individual will get for what he means in karma, will be from the like of your action. So you get to be paid back with the life of what is. If you are merciful to people, you receive merciful. If you forgive people, Allah will forgive. If you pardon people, Allah will forgive. If you are wicked towards people, don't worry. You get the reward for your deeds. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali said, "Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yarhamu an-nas, la yarhamu Allah." Liar. The one who will not show mercy to people, Allah will also not show mercy to people. Why? That is by way of paying him back, jaza'an wifaqah, giving him back the reward that is just commensurate with his act. If you are wicked, don't worry. If you are poor with people, don't worry. Your affairs will be poor. You are first to us. If you are torturing towards people, don't worry. Your children and you yourself will find a job. Just what you do, you will get. Just what you do, you will get. Be easy towards them. Remember one of the hadiths we read about a man from amongst the prophet, when he are rich come to purchase from him. He collected his money. Because they are rich, they are able to provide. But when the poor come, please, can we borrow rice to eat in our house again? When will you pay back next week? Okay. The man comes back next week. Please, I'm not able to come back. But can we get more? He gives them. Can we do this? He continues to bring ease to the poor. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this man passed away, he didn't have any other thing to present to Allah. Allah said, as you were easy with the people, I will be easy with you. As you overlook for those because of the abundance of death, I overlook for you. So the issue is that you get what you do. If you overlook, Allah will overlook for you. You pardon, Allah will pardon. You forgive, Allah will forgive. If you are wicked, you get wickedness. Why? As a recompense. That's why the day of Qiyamah is also called Yawmuddin, the day of recompense, the day of favor. So you can't plant rice and expect to harvest maize. So if you plant maize, don't also think about harvesting banana. You just get what you do. If you are wicked towards the people, don't worry. You will get the result for your life. I think it will be sufficient for us to suffer. For me, for you, all of us, we have to keep it in mind. We have a duty towards the rest of human beings. What is that duty? Be merciful towards them. Not just human beings, as we have now seen from the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also have a duty to be merciful towards animals. Don't be wicked towards them. And that was why it is prohibited to shoot animals as a game. Game, I'm not talking about hunting. I'm talking about a play. And who can shoot this animal? Who can do this? Don't do that with animals. Don't do anything that will amount to wickedness when you relate with animals. For the sake of Allah, let us do this. May Allah protect all of us and not punish us. May He be merciful to us. May He be compassionate with us. Make us from the people who show compassion to people. It's something we need to be making dua for. That is the second way to learn a character. The first way to learn a character is to start learning to do that. Like we read in hadith about honesty and truth, tataharra sidq, to be paying attention never to tell a lie, to be sure that what you are saying is true. You be careful. So from there, you become written with Allah as someone who never says other than the truth. But the same way, if we want to be people who are compassionate and merciful, start learning it. Start it with your wife, start it with your children, start it with your friends, your relatives. Be merciful towards them. So learn to be merciful. Then Allah will make you a person who is merciful. And the meaning of that is that you also will be receiving mercy from them. May Allah be merciful to us. It's really, really, because one major problem in our community is there is no mercy. It's no mercy amongst. You find two people driving a car. The other one tells, I will hit you now. What did I do to you that you want? No mercy. No mercy. Teachers, show mercy to your students. Students, be merciful towards your teachers. Parents, be merciful towards your children. Children, be merciful towards your parents. Brothers, be merciful towards your sisters. Sisters, be merciful towards your brothers. How will the community be? A community that everyone is merciful towards the next one. How will it be? So this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us merciful slaves. Abu Amir.
Amen. Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh. Ahsanallah
ilayh. I mean, yesterday, one of our mothers sent a question to me that we should pay attention to the question today. Would you permit me to read and try to answer the question?
And I'm glad.
It was from a brother, a brother, Abu Fawta. He said, a brother of mine is taking a second wife. He gives the intending wife money to get some of the things she will need
when she gets married. He wants to know if it's upon him to do the same for the first wife, from the aspects of doing just between the two. The issue is that she's still not his wife. So there is no issue of being just between the two. The second person is not still a wife. So he can give to her what he has not given to the first wife. And for every wife, the conditions of marriage are different. So if when he married the first wife, he could only afford a two-bedroom apartment in Iyanapaja, for example. So, but in the marriage, he became able to build a house. By the time he wanted to marry the second wife, he is able to build another house. Does he now have to build another house for the wife at home? He doesn't have to. Firstly, because the second person outside has not become a wife. He has not become a wife yet. So she can't claim be just between us. No, there's no between. You are the only one wife. So he will relate it to you as appropriate. Here it is talking about rights. So the first wife has no such rights, but he can provide it to her as a privilege. And most times what the new person proposed for marriage will get are things that you, the first wife, you already have. Most times that is how it is. Take it that he wants to buy a mattress. In the north, you want to marry a wife, you buy her bed, you buy her mattress, you buy a cupboard, you dress, you know, things for maid. So do I need to buy a mattress or the wife at home too? No, you already have this. So there is no in between. There is no in between. Because she's still not a wife. She's still not a wife. So he does not have to do it. But if he does it, there's no blame. Now some women will say, okay, if he does it, there's no blame. So you should do it. Did you not hear that if you do it, there's no blame? So do it. The husband has a right whether to do it or not. That is the meaning of what we are saying. So don't quarrel with your husband because he wants to marry a wife. He bought her a car. You have a car already at home. Because he bought that woman a car, he has to buy you a car. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. And you don't have to press the neck of your husband. As they say now, they press neck now. Merciful people will not press necks if you want to be merciful to others. It will not be your job pressing the neck or scatter the table, shake the table. These are expressions, modern day expression that expresses the wickedness in many of us. Why do you want to press the man's neck? And you think that's a joke? Is that from the aspects of being merciful to him? That you press his neck, whether literally or practically? So unfortunately, these things are coming in now. People think it sees as normal. They are from the expressions that imbue wickedness in the mind. You want to shake his table. Why should you shake his table? Allow his table to rest. You want to press his neck. Allow his neck to rest. Why press his neck? Is that from the aspects of showing him mercy too? So the woman should not press the neck of her husband because he bought clothes for the wife he wants to marry. So she. And that's why a very brilliant and intelligent man will not allow the first wife to know what they have done for the wife that is coming in. Very intelligent men do that. Do not allow her to know, and she does not have to know. Because if she knows, it will bring these kinds of things. But very matured women too do not begin to press the man. You must buy a shoe. You bought her a shoe, you must buy it for me. You bought her a hijab, you must buy. You bought her a niqab, you must buy for me. It is from the aspects of greed. Matured women, not women who understand their religion. Likewise, intelligent men will not have to come back to the house to start telling the first wife everything they have bought for the second. Let us be careful about it. It can destroy the home. Because naturally, women covet materials. The nature they have. So
So if you know somebody covet, somebody likes material, why show her and tell her, give her information? All the information you give her is about material that you give to someone else. She will naturally feel inclined. So you can keep away that information from her, please. And if she becomes aware, she too, she should be matured enough to keep her mind away. What Allah has given her in that marriage is more than what she's already looking out for. Most women don't know that. What Allah has given you in marriage. And I say to a lot of women who ask me, or men who ask me this question, one major problem women have about men who have more than one wife is that it's not because the man is unjust to them. It's not because he's not treating her well. But she's just enthralled by something the man does to the other wife. So the problem is relative. It's about relativity, not that he does not relate with me well. He relates with me well, though. But when he does something to another, forget about him and that one. Just be careful about you and him. Pay attention to you and him, you and your husband. Many women have gone out of their marriages because, not because the man was bad to them, but because of one thing he did to the other wife. Look away, look away. Allah said, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If you see one good thing with somebody, you ask Allah for it. So fixing your mind, say, oh, I want it like the other person's goal. It is from the roots of jealousy. Women should avoid it. Men too should avoid to be providing all these kinds of information to their wife because of the possible negative repercussions. May Allah protect us. The second question that came from that brother was, a man, okay, from, I think, Brother Salim Abdul Salam, a man steals like one who defrauds to earn. Surely this man is not merciful, he died. What do we do to his wealth? If he has wealth, look for those people you know he defrauded. Pay them back the money. Pay them back. If you knew people that he had defrauded to gather that, what you would call big money, look for them. The one that he defrauded 1 million, he has maybe 50 million in his account when he died. You knew he defrauded somebody 1 million. Go and give that 1 million to that person. Return those rights to those persons. Return the rights to those who own the rights. That is the first thing you will do. Return them. In fact, if you have to return everything, return everything. If it finishes and you still know people he owes and defrauded particular amounts, go and start. The family should start looking for ways of paying for him, because you'll be punished over people's rights. So family can go on to contribute money to offset the fraud that their one of them had committed. Yes, because if it was against him, they had a duty to ask to. If the fraud was against him and he died, they knew that so-and-so person defrauded our brother, they have the right to say, hey, where is our brother's money? So likewise, when their brother is the fraud, defrauding people, so the family has the duty to pay back the fraud from their brother. May Allah protect all of us. Abu Amir, can I come back to you, Kulina?
No, so I didn't
know everything. I mean, yes.
Now, this one is in a qualification. It says, so what of Adhiya to Kelbi, the companion who did it, alayhi salam, used to come in his form as human? We have reports that she was the most handsome of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please help clarify.
No, these issues of who is most handsome, who is most beautiful, are usually relative. They are not absolute statements. They are not absolute statements. Like you see, a man has two wives, and he has a choice to always select beautiful women. Say, ah, my wife is the most beautiful woman. He says that to himself. When he finds the second wife, he says, the most beautiful. Does it now mean that the first one is not beautiful? So expressions like that only describe the intensity of the handsomeness. It does not necessarily mean that it's an absolute conclusive statement. But Umar radiallahu anhu used to see Jarir like that. That Jarir was
Subhanallah, very. He didn't know what else to describe him with, except to say, "This is Yusuf." And he would tell him, "Don't pass sustained glance at Jaya. Just ask for this year to Kalbi, that in the form of Jibril, in whose form Jibril would come." He was also known to be very, very, very handsome. There was a companion who the Messenger alayhi salatu salam mentioned to look like Isa alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam has been mentioned also to be handsome. So there are things like this. So this is a very, very handsome. In fact, are you not the most handsome person amongst us? So all of these only go to show intensity of that attribute with that companion. They do not conflict at all.
نعم جزاكم الله خير شيخ.
آمين وانتم
نعم. This one also reads, how should we deal with pests since we have been told to be compassionate to animals?
How do we do it? What?
How should we deal with pests since we have pests managed?
Pests. Pests are harmful to us. It's like asking me, how do you deal with a lion? You avoid a lion. Being merciful to animals does not mean you present yourself for a lion for a meal. May Allah protect us. But likewise, pests are harmful to us. They bring diseases to us. They bring sicknesses to us when they bite us. So keep away from them. And if you have to stay in a place, you have to keep away pests. You know what to do. You look for a very good pesticide. That's the same thing. If you have a farm, pests can destroy the entirety of the farm. So in all of this, you have a duty to protect yourself. You don't say, oh, I have to be merciful to animals. So pests ate up the entirety of my yam farm or my cassava farm. I know a brother like that. He planted a lot of maize over a vast land. At the time of harvest, baboons and monkeys came to eat up the entire farm. He stopped farming. Maybe he's listening to me. So it happens like that. If you find a means of protecting your farm, protect the farm. If you have a means of protecting the farm, protect the farm from pests. If it is in the house, from mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are referred to as pests too, are they? So you protect yourself. With all of these, you don't say, oh, I like flies, I want to be merciful to flies. So you start doing something that brings flies to you, you are inviting harm to yourself. But we have animals that we domesticate. People domesticate cats, cattle, camels, goats, rams, and horses. It is the one that I have not seen common with Yoruba, and it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. We come back to it. To domesticate goats, sheep. It is from the Sunnah. Alayhi salatu salam. The Prophet spoke about it. He said they bring barakat. Likewise, horses. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, that goodness is engrained on the forehead of the horse. Horse, H-O-R-S-E. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to keep horses. And from the things we have heard in history was it Napoleon Bonaparte, one of the European conquerors, was to fight a battle in Cairo. He was said to have requested for a horse by way of seeking good omen, and it is lawful to seek good omen. So he requested for a red Arabian horse before that battle, hoping that from the fortunes that the messenger said regarding those horses, he will gain victory, and he gained victory. So horses are symbols of success. The Prophet said, Ali, the ahadith are in Bukhari and Muslim, that Allah has engrained goodness on the forehead of a horse. So you see a lot of rich men, if you come to the north, it's very common. They keep horses, hoping that it's a means of gaining goodness. And it is good to have good omens. So one of those things with which you have good omens are horses. So if you keep a horse, be nice to the horse. It's merciful. If you keep animals, sheep, rams, be merciful to them. If you keep a cat, be merciful to it.
If you're a hunter and you have a dog, be merciful to the dog. If you have a security dog, be merciful to the security dog. But don't keep a dog as a pet if you're a Muslim. Don't keep a dog as a pet. But you can keep a security dog. And we know what that means. Pet dogs are different from security dogs in the intention and in the reality. The types of dogs that are usually used for security are not those kinds of dogs people keep as pets. So they are completely different things. You can keep a pet, you can keep a security dog, you can keep a hunting dog. All of these are, in fact, you train the dog when you go for hunting. Allah mentioned that before. So when you keep all these animals, be merciful to you. But as for those ones that are harmful to you, like lions and all of these, it's not from the sunnah. In fact, those things will bring wickedness to your heart if you keep a lion. People do it. Why not keep horses? Why keep a lion? Because when you relate with a lion, you gradually become like it. You think like it. That's why some very, very rich people are those who do it. Many rich people have hard hearted. May Allah protect us. Many rich people are very hard hearted. Sorry, I'm not talking wickedly about, I'm not just criticizing wicked. Because many of the people attain that richness from haram means. So before they finally reach the level to be described as rich, their hearts are already hard. So you see them doing hard and tough things like keeping a lion, keeping a leopard, keeping a tiger. When I say rich people, if you want to count them in Nigeria, you maybe upon one single hand, you count all of them. So I'm not talking about people that Allah has just made covered up their faults. I'm talking about the really, really rich people. They do weird things. They do very weird things. But if it is a person who is rich upon halal, you see him doing good things. Keeping a horse, keeping goats, sheep, keeping a camel itself, and all of this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged keeping horses and goats and sheep, rams. He encouraged them. We'll come back to it in this book, the Adab al-Mufrad. So pets, kill pets if you need to kill them. Kill mosquitoes if you need to kill them. It's not from being merciful to mosquitoes that mosquitoes should bite you and give you malaria. May Allah protect us.
Amen. Salawatullah
alayhi. Amen.
This one reads, Ahsan Allah ilaykum shaykhana. Can a woman just say the dua of the istikhara without the salah if she's not in the state to pray? Jazakum Allahu khair.
I mean, some scholars say so. They say that she can say the dua if she's not able to observe the 2 units of prayer because of menstruation or nifas. Some scholars say that.
Now, Jazakum Allahu khair. Someone is asking, this is my lakab is Al-Tabari. Everyone knows me as that. Can my kunya be Abu Jarir Al-Tabari? Jazakum Allahu khair.
Ameen. Al-Imam Al-Tabari, his kunya is Abu Ja'far. Al-Imam Al-Tabari. So if your lakab is Al-Tabari, you can say Abu Ja'far. So Al-Imam Al-Tabari, his kunya is Abu Ja'far. So if you also like Jarir as a name, because it's the name of a companion that the Prophet liked so much, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you take Abu Jarir, it's not wrong. If you take Abu Jarir, it's not wrong. You can take any kunyas you like. It does not have to be word for word like the kunya of Ali Imam Al-Tabari. So if you like, take Abu Ja'far, that is the kunya of Al-Tabari. If you like, take Abu Jarir. That is the kunya, that is the name of a companion you are connecting in a kunya. It's allowed, inshallah.
For some reason, you mentioned that we should stop the use of the word karma. What about using the word nemesis, like saying nemesis will soon catch up with you?
They are similar to themselves. These strange expressions, we should avoid them. They are strange to our religion. Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal is what we should say.
the rewards come in the like of the deeds of the individual. If you say nemesis, what does nemesis mean? Well, if you say karma, I know karma because I studied Buddhism as a course. So it's from them. They have beliefs connected to karma. So don't say karma. Nemesis too is strange to our religion. So say that al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. He will be rewarded with the like of the deeds that he performed. So let's avoid these kinds of strange expressions. Allahu
Akbar.
I mean, what? Can we have this as the last question for today, Abu Amir?
Please can you share some from me of the precautions and how to relate with a person that his marriage proposal has been accepted?
The proposal, if you propose to a woman, if you propose to marry a woman and she has accepted the proposal, the precautions you need to take is because you are still strange to yourself. There is no change of baton yet from your father to him. So take precautions. Avoid, in this day, avoid much of WhatsApp. These are WhatsApp interactions. He checked me up in the morning. He checked me up in the evening. These kinds of things, avoid it. Then in your verbal discussions or even in your messages, be sure never to ever become emotional. Start asking him, do you love me? And start discussing of this. Because once you open that love, then you go on discussing things that are unlawful. At the time you'll be discussing. So stop. Don't open up that door. Don't open it up. So once the initials have been done, proposal is done, let it stop. From the precautions also is that as soon as you accept that proposal, don't accept a proposal if you are not ready for marriage the next day. I always say to people, the one who is asked to propose is the one who is ready for marriage. The one who is accepted, who is accepting proposal is also ready. So don't be a woman who will accept, say yes to a man and say, hey, but I'm still in the medical school. So why accept a proposal? You're opening a door for fitna. If you're in the medical school, finish your medical school. And you know you won't marry until you finish medical school. Why accept a man? Then you start keeping becoming boyfriends and girlfriends. And this is prohibited in the Quran. The Quran clearly prohibits taking a man for a boyfriend or a woman for a girlfriend. It's in Surah to Al-Ma'idah. It's also in Surah to Nisa. Don't take a man for a boyfriend. Don't take a woman for a girlfriend. You know what I mean. Don't start asking me for the details. So avoid it. One way to avoid this is that once you say yes to a man, when are you coming to see my father and my mother? And before you say yes, ask him, when will you be ready for the marriage? Sometimes it's with the men. I had a brother who proposed to a woman. The woman accepted. The woman invited him, oh yeah, come to our house. He ran away. So why do you propose to a woman? So take all these precautions even before you say yes to a man. Ask him, are you ready now? If tomorrow my father says, come, will you be able to come? Are you ready to marry me now? If you are not ready to marry now, oh dear brother, stay away from proposing to a woman. Move away. Move away if you are not ready. Readiness means that you are ready to pay her mahar. You are ready to take over her, take her, bring her to your home. So you should have a home. You should be able to provide what she will eat and drink. That is a person who is ready for marriage. So don't say yes to a man if you are not ready. Don't propose to a woman if you are not ready. If you now propose claiming to be ready, and she's also ready, and then she says yes, the next thing, precaution, go to the father of the woman. Oh, woman, tell the man to come. Bring your family. Come to our house. So if he tells you, come and visit me, don't go and visit him. In Islam, there are no dates. We are dating. These are terms now that we have imported into our religion. A brother and a sister, they are dating. What's the meaning of that? All of that is from the aspects of fahisha. Indecency. Don't be an indecent woman. Don't go to the house of a man if the family of the man wants to see the daughter, the girl that their son wants to marry, they should go and see her in their house. Yorubas do it a lot because they may be oppressive to the girl, the innocent girl. They say, bring her. She doesn't have father or mother who will prevent that. Don't release your daughters to go to the house of a man who wants to marry her. They should be the one coming to see her in their house. Your daughter doesn't have anything to do in their house till she's married to them. And I know a case of someone who invited a young girl to come and visit their house after they have agreed to marry. And he raped the woman. He raped the girl. I know the case firsthand. It was 6-7 years ago. So young girls, don't go and visit. Don't say you have a date. Young Muslim girls don't have dates. Don't go and meet them in cinemas. Don't go. Honor yourself. Don't disgrace yourself before you get into the marriage itself. So when you finish disgracing yourself, you come back to the house. The man begins to disgrace you. Don't go to a man. He wants to see you come to our house. Come to our house. So after accepting the proposal, don't go anywhere with him. Let him come to your house. He is known in your house. He wants to marry you. You want to see me? Come to our house. Don't meet him in a public place too. Come to our house if you want to see me. So may Allah make it easy. All of these will be precautions away from evil. I think that if you ask elders more in your community who know the sunnah, they will guide you more, inshallah. May Allah protect all of us. I think it is convenient that we stop the class here today. Abu Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.